Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby. Today I'm joined by Stephen Tripp, who is the marketing director over at Win Systems. Stephen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm super stoked to dig into it because as we were prepping for the episode, you've got some really fantastic insights just around specifically sales marketing alignment. Been building Scrappy ABM for the past 2 years. We've got really, really great processes. What we constantly find is that's not the reason it fails. It typically fails because we can't get people on the same page, and it's all like people-oriented object or people-oriented objections. So I'm excited to dig into it as we figure out how do we actually get everybody on the same page and working well together. So that said, Stephen, as you think about building an ABM program, ABM in and of itself, account-based marketing, you have to have right accounts. So I'm curious from your perspective, how do you actually identify the best companies to even go after?
You know, so really we're, you know, I know with the Scrappy podcast and everything like that, it's not about tech stack, but in some level, we have to have some level of tech. We need to understand and do that research. And so we lean a lot into Apollo, a good cheap way of getting things out there, right? And so we're trying to really build that understanding of, you know, who are all the people that we could talk to, right? And what are the problems that they're dealing with? And we get that back. We actually have scoring that we bring, custom scoring, we bring back into Salesforce, and boom, we know what the world looks like to us. Now, how do we take it down from there? Really, for us, it's actually been behavioral. And sure, there's like that third party intent data and things like that. And I'm sure there's some value there. I actually haven't seen the value there. Where I've seen the value is first party intent data. Who's actually coming and reacting to the content that we have and then actioning off of that. Something that's a little bit different, I think, you know, in some of the people that you talk to is, and I don't like this, but I kind of like this. Maybe it's the pride in me, right? But we're 100% inbound. I kind of like saying, you know, hey, I'm the marketing director, we're 100% inbound, right? But I don't think that's healthy. I think that's a transition that we have to make, right? Just to help our sales team progress and things like that, right? But that's how we're doing it, right? So we know who we're going after. We understand that audience as best as we possibly can. We're delivering content that really speaks to them and pulls them through the funnel, because they may not even want to come directly to the tip top of the funnel and go in that pristine way of marching through the funnel like we all drew it up in the buyer's journey, right? So just going after and attacking that based on the behavioral. So we'll just sit there and we'll actually be creepy, right? And we'll just watch somebody on our website for the longest time. Don't know exactly who they are. Sometimes we do, right? And we're going to action and we're going to pivot and we're going to get scrappy with them as we kind of help them move through the funnel, sometimes without them knowing that we're helping them move through the funnel.
I just love the call out of first party engagement data as kind of the primary metric that we're trying to engage and actually measure success around on how we prioritize our accounts. And then the other thing you just called out, and I want to be super clear, we have seen this a ton in the past 2 years of organizations that have been primarily inbound focused that had very well fed AEs that are having to shift outbound. And like, there are some challenges that come with that when you've not done historical outbound. But I mean, I think you're on the right track recognizing it may also be helpful to do some outbound programming and get our AEs equipped with great insights based on specific account engagement, not intent, but specific account engagement that shows them, hey, this is how we're going to help you progress through our progression model, our funnel, our buyer's journey, whatever your language is. So it sounds like really, you know, your accounts and then you prioritize based on their engagement with your brand, an effective way of summarizing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as you then think about specifically the channel mix, I think this is one of those things that all of it's important, but like great data that never gets actioned and actually used to get in front of people, like not super helpful. So I'm curious, how are you actually thinking through and identifying the best places to show up for your buyers?
You know what? It's about listening. And for me, just figuring that out and being really intentional, even on the micro things. You know, we had this really neat example recently where we had a prospect call in searching, just absolutely searching for a solution. They're currently on SAP as an ERP system, right? And SAP is dropping support of something. And so we didn't even know this something existed. Right? So what do? We go out, we start Googling it, we start trying to understand it. There's like no data out there on it other than the fact that it's sunsetting. So what do? We write an article on the sunset. Do you know how many searches that gets in a month? Like one. Do you know how many leads we've had since we did that? One. That's freaking awesome, right? That's exactly, we're in the enterprise space. That's exactly what we needed to get out of it. We wrote an article in 30 days time period. It gave us another lead, right? And that's freaking awesome. And if it gives us another one, it just, the return on investment just keeps blowing up and going through the roof. So really it's just about listening. And, you know, we're in this unique position. We're super enterprise. I actually turn away like 90% of the leads that we get. So we are focused and we know exactly who we're dealing with. You know, our customers are the biggest and the best in the business. We've got industry data that supports this. We're helping them grow like no other solution that's out there. But what that gives me as a marketing person, sure, it gives me that story about growth and everything like that that I can tell, but it also gives me access to them, right? So I can listen to their stories, whether it's the prospect, whether it's the existing customer that we've had for, you know, 10 years, whatever the case is, I have access to unique data. And what do I mean by unique data? That story that I just told you about SAP sunsetting something. That was a piece of unique data that I was able to leverage into a content piece that really drew that attraction and spoke to something that, guess what? None of my competitors can speak to that. They don't even know what it is. Guess what? I didn't know what it is. Why do I know what it is? Because I was listening to an employee that I have who was listening. You know, and so that culture of listening and understanding, which really is the scrappy thing, right? You know, when I think back in my career, you know, I graduated, I'm going to date myself here, graduated with a marketing degree, right? Right as the dot-com bubble burst, zero jobs. So what did I do? I grabbed my briefcase satchel at the time, right? And I started knocking on doors. I was a salesperson. I hated it. That is not, I sound a little type A personality. That is not actually who I am. I'm too introverted for that, right? And it is not for me. But boy, did I learn how to be a scrappy marketer by going out and knocking those doors and understanding that, right? So I just, and learning how to listen and looking for those triggers and how do you work off of that? And, you know, knowing somebody's dog's birthday or something like that, right? How important that is, right? And carrying those unique stories out through our content. Now, I'm not going to write a blog piece on that, right? But you're also asking about the channel, making sure that these things are available in every single channel that there is. What's the number one search engine in the world? Google. What's the number two? YouTube. You know, right? Like really treat it like that and understand and have that content available in the ways that they do it. We're selling enterprise software. This stuff costs a lot of money and delivers a lot of value. And I just keep trying to tell people, what's the last biggest thing that you bought? And it'd be a house or a car or something like that. How did you go with that? How did you work? Is the first thing that you did just to go to a car dealer and say, sell me something, Mr. Salesman? No, you were in incognito mode as a person for as long as you possibly could be. And guess what? That's how people buy enterprise software too. They do not want to talk to you at all. We've had some great experiences. I was telling you about this the other day as we were prepping for this. We had this lead for somebody who was not in our ICP. Guess what? They should have been in our ICP. Like it was a market we had, a vertical we hadn't even thought of. It was freaking amazing, right? So we have HubSpot. As soon as they fill out that form and say, hey, we're ready to talk to you, all of a sudden their cookie gets de-anonymized and we have their history. They were stalking us for months. That they were just sitting there, they pulled themselves all the way through like to the bottom of the funnel. But we had content available for them. I mean, except for the scary part is I didn't know the ICP well, or I didn't have them included in the ICP. One of the things they told us in the discovery process, again, because we were listening, they're like, we went through every single video on your YouTube channel, to which I completely panicked and said, we actually didn't have any videos that were for you, you know, specifically, right? But they were able to project themselves on some of that that was there, but they just absolutely combed through their data. In some ways, they knew us way better than we knew them, and they knew how our solution could fit them better than we knew it because they were outside of our normal space and vertical that we were used to talking to. So like that content and distributing it in the channels that people want to consume it in and having it at every single point. Like I'm not just sitting there at the top of the funnel with awareness. That's old school marketing, right? Like I hand this like a baton off to sales and I'm out. No, it doesn't work that way. I'm going to pull people all the way through the funnel, whether I know who they are or don't know who they are. I have to pull them through the funnel, right? That's my job as a full funnel marketer, right? Which is a thing now. That didn't used to be a thing, right? But it's a thing now. And so I have to be very deliberate about making sure, and it sounds a little checkboxy, but I literally have a buyer's journey And I'm just like, do I have a piece of content? Like, it's kind of a matrix, right? Do I have a piece of content for every spot on every channel? And when I get all those checkboxes done, right, now I can look and doing, okay, let's do a second checkbox, right? But people will work really hard at not talking to you. So let me give them a way for them to understand us wherever they are in that. If they want a case study and that's bottom funnel, fine, they can have it. I mean, we 5X'd our traffic by ungating all of our content when I got here. Boom, like almost overnight. We had some SEO things to fix on the website and like that too. But just by ungating and saying, you know what? Stop forcing people to go through your funnel and let them go through their funnel. And by doing that, it just opened things up. Now the content wasn't great, right? And we're working on that. But I mean, even with ungreat content, boom, immediate 5X traffic boost right there. I mean, other things were influencing that, right? But that was probably the major ingredient into that success, which allowed people to pull themselves through the funnel. Which you got to be brave. You have to be brave in order to say, it's okay. I'll be all right not knowing who that person is. It's a certain amount of bravery. It's rogue, right? And here's the problem with being rogue. You just got to be right at the end of the day, right? To be able to get that buy-in from leadership, you have to have the data to say, hey, yeah, we're bringing in more leads and they're a higher qualified lead. So if you don't do that, then it doesn't work. But you have to be brave and have that faith that's going to pull all the way through. And your leadership will take you so far, right? But their bravery and faith, it's not as good as an optimistic marketer who thinks the glass is always, you know, completely full.
Yeah, I love the simple breakdown of doing a lot of listening and also just somewhat of a reframe. You know, I think if I talked to most marketers and they had a blog that had one visit per month, they would think about that as a failure. But there's someone that I listen to a lot, and he stopped actually measuring standard percentages of the room in which he converts. And he's primarily focused on what's the quality of the room that he can create. And then if he gets a high quality room, doesn't matter how many people are in there, he'll convert a high percentage of them regardless. So it's the quality of the room, it's the quality of the traffic that typically is a better indicator than the volume. So again, one blog post that is super niche and specific, that actually is the only thing on the internet that answers the question that somebody's asking, shows that you deeply understand their challenges, which is honestly fantastic from an ABM perspective. So just being where your buyers are, and making a habit of actually doing a lot of gong call listening and also just internal conversation seems like kind of the main way in which you're determining the right channels. Does that sound about right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? I've tried the other way. When I first heard about ABM, I'm like, get me a platform. Let me have some fun, right? This is going to be awesome. You know what? I burned a lot of money on the ads and things like that. And it's just the idea of getting off of the expensive ad hamster wheel and onto the content flywheel.
Couldn't agree more, which then begs the question, as you think about content. I mean, yes, you want to create content in such a way that drives people through stages of education, but I'm curious, how do you start to map out that content so you do have the right content that can allow your buyers to engage in the ways in which they prefer and then actually educate to the point where they actually reach out to you?
Yeah. And you know what? And that comes down to just some good old, you know, marketing research, right? You could probably have AI answer some of these questions to you. Like, hey, tell me what a buyer's journey should be for enterprise SaaS company, right? Tell me what channels I should go after, right? And that just sets up that, you know, I talked about a little bit earlier, it just sets up that matrix, right? To make sure that you're checking all the boxes. And because it's so hard, there's so many different things to think of. But have I done something that is touching all of those points that if the person wanted, there's definitely people that just like Google the company, whatever, right? You know, click schedule a call right away. It happens, right? But what we notice is, like I said, I was turning away 90% of my leads. The 90% of my leads that I turn away are the people that do that. Right? Because it's a small SMB, you know, business owner or business leader or whatever, right? And they know they don't care about giving out their information or whatever, right? So just, again, making sure I've checked all of those boxes. I'm looking at all those different things. And you know what? It's going to be slightly different for every company, but at the same time, it's not, right? Like, you know, do you have a video testimonial? Is that on your website? Is that on your YouTube channel? You know, is it a customer that's in your ICP? Are they talking about a problem, right? Like, okay, check. Did I give that video to YouTube and say, write a case study for me of it? Great. Is it now on my website? check, right? Is there anything newsworthy in that? Can I get that out to a news outlet in my industry? Check, right? Like, so just moving through all of that is just go through those check boxes, make sure that it's all being done.
I love it. One of the challenges that people often see when they do ungate their content, as you referenced, is like, it's harder to measure until you have close one revenue. So I'm curious, as you think about your measures of success in a program like this, what are you actually typically looking at to say we're on the right track, we're winning, or we're losing?
So we all sell a product. I can't remember. I read some book years ago that it's like, you know, is the work you're due worth it? Right. So if you're an accountant, right, an accounting department, it can be outsourced, right? A sales department can be outsourced. A marketing department can be outsourced, right? So if you were outsourced, are you worth the value? And it's a marketing return on investment. It's our salaries. It's our bonuses. It's marketing return on investment. Like, really think about that. You know, like, go out and look at how people are measuring Rami or something like that. It's the stupidest calculation in the world. That is not a measure of return on investment, you know, period. So it's a measure of return or revenue on an element of investment, but it's not, right? So what do I look at with that, right? So if I were outsourced, what is the product that I deliver? The product I deliver is not leads. It's not even MQAs. It's SQAs. That's the product. At the end of the day, that if the marketing department were, you know, Steve Tripp Inc. or something like that, you know, selling for Wind Systems, what would I be selling? I would be selling SQAs. That's all that they would want to pay me for, right? So that's the measure. And understanding where those SQAs come from. Because we're the biggest, there's some brand equity out there. And so there's a level comes through of that. So let me understand. When there's a referral out there, you know, all those different things, a previous user, you know, moves companies, whatever the case is, that is not a marketing generated SQA. What are the actual marketing generated SQAs? So that's the measure right then and there, period, end of story. What am I delivering? And is that number going up or is that number going down? And so the trouble is that in this enterprise space where a sales cycle can be more than a year, and if I'm allowing people, I'm being brave and letting people go through the funnel, right? It's just, how soon can I get, at the end of the day, how soon can I get them out of that and anonymize or de-anonymize them, right? And understand, right? But there was a certain amount of bravery. And I use that, you know, for what it's worth, starting here, what did I need to do? I need to implement that program, but it's going to take time. So what can I also move and draw attention to while I'm building this other thing? It's almost a smoke and mirrors. It's almost like a magician saying, don't watch what I'm doing over here. Watch what I'm doing over here. Right. And if over here is exciting enough and over here is working, then it's all going to work out in the end. And that's the wonderful position where we're lucky, fortunate enough to be in while we were generating activity and doing those things that would help people say, okay, good. We've made a good hire. We've got a good team being built, all that kind of stuff. Well, the real work was actually happening. But again, if you're going to be brave about that, you also got to be right about that. But you'll never be wrong when you're connecting with people and understanding them and then just kind of regurgitating that. You'll never be wrong there. So that's where I've got that faith. It's like the right thing to do. And it's worked. And it's working out really well. We got some really strong headwinds of economy and all sorts of other things that are just beating us back right now. Absolutely. But the funnel, like the active pipeline, it's stronger than it's ever been before, right? And it's because of that focus on we don't deliver leads, we deliver SQAs, and we want them to have a high close rate, and we want them to be highly intentioned, right? And so that's what's made this the active pipeline really blossom for us here.
I just also love the simple framing of pretty much every role can largely be outsourced in some capacity. So we measure vendor, and I'm going to be super clear, like we're an agency, so we get measured all the time on like, all right, well, how much did this generate? How much revenue did that generate? Where's the right quality? What's LTV? You know, we wanted to go after these accounts. Did we see any level of engagement? Like those are the things that we get measured on. And the further out that we work with someone, it always ends in how much revenue do we generate? So just simply looking at, I took a bet, I took a risk. Did it pay out? If I do that enough times, that is the measure of success. And I also want to be super clear. Udi wrote a book called Courageous Marketing. And in the book, he says, it's not called trial and success. Like, it's called trial and error. So at a certain point, not every bet pays out. But if you have enough bets that stack together that overall pay out, you've also set expectations of like, this is an experiment. This may not work, but like, we should still try it. I think that's an easy way to set up framing so that you're more likely to have a successful implementation. Last question for you would just be, as you've built this content program that helps guide your target accounts through, I love your framing of guide them through their own funnel. Is there anything you wish you had known before you started?
I wish I'd known that, right? Like, it, you know, coming down to it, I can get a little bit nerdy with it. I love a good tech addition to the tech stack, right? Like, that's just, I'm just a geek that way, right? And I, you know, I alluded to it earlier. I got so excited about the M part of ABM, and it was a mistake, right? And going back to my roots, going back to remember what it's like to be a salesperson, and teaching my team who doesn't have the experience of having been a salesperson and the pain of having to, you know, park your car at the end of the street and go, I'm going to have to work that street, right? But trying to give that experience to them, like going back to my roots, getting scrappy. I mean, candidly, like when I stumbled across your podcast, like, you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover. I did though, right? And love the podcast because of that. And so, I mean, you just think about it. If you were just starting your own business and you were out there, how would you handle this? Would you go out and just start buying the most expensive piece in the tech stack you possibly could and launch an ABM program? No, like if you were just starting out, if you were sales and marketing all in one person, what would you do? You would just make sure that you researched the crap out of it, that you connected, that you understood, that you knew what was going on, and that you knew when birthdays were, and you knew, you know, if the prospect was in a band or whatever stupid thing it is out there, right? You would know all that stuff because you knew when you opened your mouth, it had to be right. So if marketers can put themselves into that position, you know, that's the one thing I wish that more people could have sales and marketing just understand each other. And, you know, on my side of the house, probably for a lot of your listeners, we're the marketers, right? And so, you know, go on that sales call, get on that airplane, walk that street, whatever, you know, get on that call, be live. Don't just listen to the recording, but even get on the call, right? There's a different vibe, a different level of paying attention, whatever the case might be with that. But just really try and get in that salespeople get in the marketing shoes, marketing people get in the sales shoes, right? And I knew that. Right. And I did not necessarily implement that with the force that I wish I had done. You know, coming here, this was my first time in an extremely enterprise space. And so I was trying with some whiz bang things to be able to do that. And no, that wasn't the answer. The answer really was to get scrappy, right? To go back to my sales roots. And I'm not selling. Right. But I still got back to those roots and trying to help my team get to the roots that they don't have. Right. How can I give them those roots through my experience? And so that's a thing that I wish if I could go back and coach Steve a little bit when he first started at Wynn, I would say, you know what to do here. What would you do if it was your business? What would you do? How would you handle this? If it was just you, what would you do? Right. If I just been a little bit more courageous in doing that, I think I would have had a faster path to this success that we're having right now.
I love it. Yeah, just there's a lot more that comes in on the sales front when you do ABM, because you're trying to think, as you referenced, full funnel. Like, that's not how it used to be. There's a lot more on the, well, I generated enough contacts, like, we're good to go. And now it's, well, how do I get them to know we exist, closed, and expanded? So it's just a lot more. But when done well, you really position marketing as quite the revenue driver for the business. So super appreciate you walking through all of this and joining us today. If people want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
Go find me on LinkedIn. I got to admit, I'm a LinkedIn snob. I only connect with people who I've actually connected with in some way. But yeah, I can get a follow there. It's a way to reach out to me. And look, I hope my passion came through. I love this stuff. I'll pretty much talk with anybody about it, right? Super excited to have this venue and just chat. And this is fun. Love it.
Yeah. Super fun for me as well. Steve, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you guys in the next one.